I know I've talked about this before, but one of the things I really, really want to experience before I die, which hopefully is not for a good many more years to come, is to see the Northern Lights. There is just something super special and awe-inspiring in my mind about this phenomena. I don't know about you, but it sort of makes me believe in folklore and magic and myths every time I see photos or videos of the Aurora Borealis. And there are a few countries in the world that are famous for the Northern Lights. In fact, one of the northernmost countries in the world, Norway, definitely has a lot to offer, even beyond it being one of the best places in the world to see the Northern Lights. Norway is a country that is known for its dramatic landscapes, the majestic fjords, and the Aurora Borealis. In summer, it is known as the land of the midnight sun, a phenomenon that I can only imagine as being an out-of-this-world experience. It boggles the mind that you could be in a place where the sun really doesn't set, right? I am so excited to welcome my friend Lisa Stentat to the Culturally Ours podcast to talk about all things Norway. Lisa is a local Norwegian born and raised in Orlan, which she says is the land of the fjords. In fact, all the photos we see of Norway's dramatic fjords is most likely from Orlan, her hometown. Lisa is a travel blogger and writer, and she shares her experiences from both Norway and around the world, as well as her best travel tips on her blog. She is passionate about helping people make the most out of their travels and especially loves helping people plan their perfect adventure in Norway. During our conversation, Lisa shared so many wonderful tips and trip ideas with us, from exploring the city of Bergen to outdoor activities around Norway and even some of her favorite restaurants. So, if Norway is on your bucket list, come join Lisa and me as we chat all things Norway, fjords and outdoor adventures in this amazing and breathtakingly beautiful country on this episode of Culturally Ours.
Welcome to Culturally Ours, a show where we explore global cultural diversity in an intimate way through conversations and narratives around lifestyle, culture, food, art, and travel. Host Karthika Gupta talks to people from all over the world who have intimately experienced different cultures as a way to understand each other's worlds from the inside out, focusing on what we have in common.
Welcome, Lisa. Thank you so much for joining me on Culturally Ours. I am very, very excited to have you on the podcast, and I cannot wait to chat with you, get to know you a little bit better, and get to know your corner of the world a little bit better.
Thank you.
So before we begin, could you tell us a little bit about sort of who you are, where you're from, just to kind of help set the stage for this conversation?
Of course, yeah. And thank you so much for having me. Really excited to be here.
Absolutely.
So my name is Lisa, and I'm a travel blogger and writer from Norway. My blog is called Fjords and Beaches, and the name is obviously inspired by the fjord region of Norway where I grew up. I've been blogging for over 10 years now, and yeah, I just love sharing my adventures and travel tips on my blog from, well, I share tips from all over the world, but have been focusing a lot about Norway lately.
That's amazing. And Norway is such a beautiful country. And your blog is amazing. Your pictures are amazing.
Thanks so much. It's easy to take good photos from Norway, I'll admit.
For sure. When I look outside my window, I just see a lot of snow and dead trees and absolutely flat landscapes. It's not fun.
No fjords.
Nope. I wish there were, though. So Lisa, tell me a little bit about Norway and specifically kind of where you are located, whether it's your hometown or where you live. Just kind of describe it to us a little bit.
Yeah, of course. So I'm based in Bergen, which is the second largest city in Norway. My hometown is Aurland, which is a 3-hour drive from here. So Aurland is where I grew up. I was born and raised there. It's a small village with less than 2,000 inhabitants. And it's based in like the heart of the fjord region of Norway. So it's when you think Norway and Norwegian landscapes, you are very likely thinking of the view from like my childhood home.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Now, so what made you move from there to Bergen?
It just made sense for me to move to a city so that I would have easier access to an international airport. So I moved here after I started blogging full time. And since I was traveling a lot of the time, the 3-hour drive from rural Norway to here was, so Aurland is it's a very rural part of Norway. So there's only like a few buses per day that go there. So then it was very tricky to like book travel. Because it had to like, I'd either had to go here to Bergen and spend the night at friends to catch an early flight in the morning. So it just made sense to have like a base here. And also a lot of my friends live here and I love a city. I'm growing up in a village. I think I've become like a bit of a city girl. So so that's the main reason really. Or those are the main.
Now, talk to me a little bit about just the whole pandemic and, you know, COVID and how Norway or Bergen, how has the community handled the whole situation? How are things where you are right now?
Yeah, so Norway has actually been quite proactive in handling the pandemic, I would say. So we have been in lockdowns several times. As late as this past weekend, we just ended one. So they've been like very proactive. So for example, like this past lockdown we were in, they discovered the British mutation or strand of virus in Bergen about 2 weeks ago. And immediately they went into a 7-day lockdown. So they closed the gyms, they closed everything except like pharmacies and grocery stores. And then after 7 days, they reopened a little bit. So like kids' sports and some restaurants. And then yesterday, so Monday, that was 14 days later, they reopened everything. So they've been kind of very proactive. Like the second they see a sign of anything not being controlled, they just like shut down, but then for a very limited time. So it's, it's very interesting. And I feel like it has been working quite well. Like I think we don't have, our numbers are not as dramatic as some other countries. And we've also been lucky in that our lockdowns haven't lasted as long and they haven't been as like aggressive as others. So like yesterday I went shopping and I had comments on Instagram. People were like, are stores open? Can you go to H&M and Zara? And I'm like, that's fine. It's not a problem. But they were closed for 14 days and then they reopened. So it's very like, they're very hands-on, but also makes it last shorter.
Yeah. It's kind of similar here. We've not had an official sort of a lockdown as such. I mean, I'm in like the suburbs of Chicago.
Right.
So things are pretty much kind of back on track. And it's crazy. Mm. It's like some people you kind of see, they behave like there was never a pandemic.
Right.
And then on the flip side, you know, you have people who are completely like homebound. Everything is online. So it's quite interesting to see the whole, I guess, the psyche aspect of it as well.
Exactly. I agree. So. No, it's very interesting. And there are so many different ways of handling it as well.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Now, Lisa, you are in the travel industry, you're in this travel space, and Norway as such is such a beautiful country for travel and just, you know, exploration and outdoor adventure. So talk to me a little bit about sort of how travel has changed, especially where you are. And I'm talking from the perspective not just of you as being in the industry, but just, you know, people around, like are people traveling? Is there movement or is kind of everything kind of completely like blocked off?
Yeah. So the village where I grew up has been especially impacted for sure. Excuse me. Because of the location of Aurland by the fjords, tourism is the number one kind of industry in the area. So it's gone from like, so we would welcome thousands of visitors a day from all over the world to the village, which is insane. But like, it would just be such a bustling, like crowded place. Like there was always life. And now it's like a ghost town. Like it's so quiet there now. So it's definitely impacted Norway because tourism is very big here. And it's very sad to see because like I see a lot of my friends. So obviously growing up in such a tourism based area, I have a lot of friends in the travel industry. I worked in, so even before I was a travel blogger, I worked in hospitality in the summers and like that was the industry I was in before I started blogging full time as well. And now, like, most of my friends are on furlough. Some have lost their jobs or have had to look elsewhere because there's not really any travel to Norway at the moment. They've closed the borders in all practicality. So yeah.
That's hard. That's tough.
It's very sad, yeah. It's sad and necessary. Like, I understand all the restrictions. I understand all the decisions of the government, but it's heartbreaking to see how many businesses are struggling now and how many people are struggling as well as a result of this.
Yeah. Now, you being a travel blogger, how mm-hmm. have you handled it? Like, if you don't mind sharing from a mm-hmm. personal perspective, what yeah. have you done to kind of keep going or pivot or just kind of walk us through that?
Yeah, so one of the main ways I pivoted was that I finally got around to writing in Norwegian. So Fjords and Beaches is an English blog. It always has been. But for years, I've been saying that I would like it to be bilingual because Norwegian is my first language. So after, like, when the pandemic hit and they started, like, closing down borders or really, like, just making it harder to enter Norway as a tourist, and the summer of 2020 was very focused on domestic travel. So I did like a complete 180 and started writing in Norwegian. In addition to English, I still write in English, but Norwegian travel tips or travel tips in Norwegian has been kind of my number one focus lately to kind of like hone in on that segment.
Hey there. I hope you are enjoying this episode of Culturally Ours. Did you know there are so many wonderful resources, articles, and blog posts on the website to extend your Culturally Ours experience? We also have a library of free resources like a travel guide to some of the most culturally diverse places around the world, a global kitchen essentials cheat sheet, and so much more. Head on over to culturallyours.com/free to grab these and be sure to check back often as we're constantly adding more resources just for you. Now, let's get back to the episode. So Lisa, if I or somebody else out there were to plan a trip to Norway, hopefully things open up and we can get back to traveling. Tell us sort of where you would take us. I guess I'm asking for like an itinerary.
Of course, and fingers crossed we can travel again soon. I know Norway, the tourism and travel industry here in Norway are very excited to welcome tourists again. So I actually get this question so often. Like, I get so many emails and DMs and messages about this, and you'd be surprised by how many people want to go to Norway, but they don't really know what they want to see or why they want to go to Norway. Like, they've just heard that Norway's a great country. They've heard that it's beautiful, but they don't, because I'll often like go ask people, well, so what's your kind of like, what's the purpose of your trip? What do you want to see? And they're like, oh, well, we want to experience yeah. Norway. So first off, I would always advise someone who, like, before they like start thinking of their itinerary or their trip, I'll always advise people to like just read a few blog posts, do some research and figure out, like, do you want to go to Norway because you dream of seeing the Northern Lights, for example, which is, I mean, Norway's a great country for the Northern yeah. Lights. Or do you want to see the fjords? Is that, because those are two very different trips. I usually assume most people want to see the fjords on their first trip, but if you do dream of seeing the Northern Lights, I really recommend visiting the Lofoten Isles, which is quite far up north, a beautiful region, absolutely stunning. And also there are also some great locations there where you can see the Northern Lights. That's in the winter, right? So that would be a winter trip. You can't see the Northern Lights up there in the summer because they have midnight sun. So they'll have, it's sunny 24 right. hours a day. That's also, yeah, and that's another reason people want to visit Norway. People will ask me, we want to see the Northern Lights and the Midnight Sun on this trip. And I have to kind of explain that those are two very different times of year. So I usually, like, most people want to dream of seeing the fjords when they visit Norway. So I'll usually recommend that you start in either Oslo or Bergen, which is the two easiest cities to fly into. They're the two biggest cities in Norway. And so say if you start in Bergen, if you fly into Bergen, you can spend a day or two exploring the city. It's a beautiful city. It's quite old, so there's a lot of history to be explored here. You can hike up to some of the mountains in the area. For example, Mount Fløyen is so close to the city center that you can actually walk up it in like 30 to 40 minutes if you start in the center of, like, in the city center. You can start by like Starbucks and walk up to the top of this mountain. And the views are great. So that's, I always recommend that. And to also see Bryggen, which literally just means the dock, Bryggen. It's a UNESCO World Heritage listed old part of town. So it's these like colorful wooden houses along the docks. You might have seen, like, if you Google Bergen, it's the photo, it's the first photo that comes up always. And from Bergen, you're very, so the reason I recommend starting in Bergen instead of Oslo, Oslo is also a great city, but Bergen is closer to the fjords and to kind of like the regions you're most likely to want to explore on your first trip to Norway. You can either head north to Aurland, or the area where I grew up. That's if you want to see the UNESCO World Heritage fjords, which are the Nærøyfjord and the Geiranger fjord. Those are like the two number one fjords in Norway. So in like just the municipality where I grew up, you can see, as mentioned, the Nærøyfjord. There's also a Viking village that I recommend visiting. They've actually built... Yeah, it's really cool. So they've built like an authentic Viking village, and people live there as Vikings. Yeah, so it's like, so it's not even like paid actors. It's actually like Viking reenactors who are really passionate about what they do. So they live there and they earn a living selling whatever trade they've decided that they want to like focus on. Yeah, so these are people that live like Vikings, and they will like, for example, dye fabrics and make dresses. You can buy like an authentic Viking dress, or as authentic as it can be in 2021, but it's made in the old way. Like, it's made, everything is done using like the Viking way. So they are very kind of strict on like authenticity. So that's, I love visiting. We usually go a few times every summer. If there's like, sometimes they'll put on like festivals and stuff. Like, it's great fun. And also in Aurland, so near the Nærøyfjord, so this is all in like the same area, you also have the Flåm Railway, which has been named one of the most scenic railways in the world. So yeah, it's beautiful. It's a 2-hour trip, round trip, so it doesn't take all day. And it's just, the nature is just stunning. So that's one option from Bergen. The other one is to go south to Stavanger, which is Norway's fourth largest city. And that's, there you'll find the Lysefjord, which is another beautiful fjord, of course. But mainly that's where you'll find Pulpit Rock, which you might have heard of. It's one of the, like, one of the number one hikes in Norway. So if you enjoy hiking and you've seen this like photo, like of this square, perfect square mountain, squared mountain, like high, high above a fjord, that's Pulpit Rock. It's a very famous hike, very popular, and actually like not as hard as you'd think. So that's also, that's a few hours south of Bergen. So that's like, so heading into Bergen, you really get like, you're in the middle of everything, and then you have a lot of options.
Sounds really interesting. And oh my gosh, cannot wait for everything to kind of kick back and start.
I can't wait to welcome tourists back. Like, I'm so... It's been a very sad year without speaking English in my like daily life.
Yeah. Now, Lisa, this is something you kind of alluded to as well when we were talking about pivoting. But one thing we kind of are seeing in this travel space is a lot of like more grassroots, hyper-localized sort of, you know, experiences, and people just want that. You know, want that touchy-feely, right? So the next sort of series of questions, I would love to know your perspective. So Lisa's perspective, okay? Because I think it gives a lot of insight for somebody like me who's, you know, thousands of miles away to see it from a local's point of view.
Right.
So what is your favorite restaurant, and more importantly, why?
All right. So I might do these... This might be a mix of Bergen and Aurland, if I hope that's fine. Okay. Like, so sometimes, so for the restaurant, for the restaurant, it makes sense that my favorite is in Bergen, which is a city with several restaurants. In Aurland, or in like the fjord area, there are very few restaurants. So it's hard to have a favorite because they're all just great. Oh, actually, no, I'll have one for each. Sorry, okay. I just remembered. Okay, so in Aurland, so by the fjords, I would love to recommend, there's a restaurant called Agir, which is, it's actually a brewery. So it's a microbrewery, okay. And then they also have a restaurant where all the food is inspired and made with the beer that they make in the brewery. Yeah, so that's, it's local beer, and the beer has actually won a few national awards here in Norway. And it's become very popular. They sell this beer in grocery stores now here in Bergen and in Oslo. And it's made in like a tiny village, like hours from here. So that's one recommendation. And in Bergen, my favorite restaurant is called Pergola, and it's Italian. And the reason it's my favorite is that they have the biggest wine cellar in the city. So it's very small, and the menu is quite basic. Like they'll have like, they make pizzas, and they have like some snacks for the table. But then every day you go there and you can just like, they'll just like tell you what ingredients they have that day. And then you like make your own pizza, because it's all about the wine. And so personally, I love like trying different wines, especially when I'm traveling. But since I'm not really traveling at the moment, I'm never disappointed when I visit Pergola. The food is really good as well, but it's all about the wine. And then it's just a great time, especially if you're traveling with friends.
Yeah, sounds amazing. Now, what's your favorite activity?
So in all of Norway, really, I think hiking is like one of my favorite things to do. It's such a great way to see the country. So like I mentioned earlier, like there are some hikes you can do in Bergen. Bergen is actually nicknamed the city amongst the seven mountains, because there are seven mountains surrounding the city, which is, so it's like, so if you're visiting Bergen, you can decide if you want to do the 30-minute easy hike from the center, or if you want to hike up like 800 meters of Sherpa steps and do like a more intense, and regardless, you get spectacular views of the city.
Would imagine so. Yeah, amazing. Now, we've talked about hiking, and you've talked about the Pulpit Rock, and a lot of these places are super popular, yes. Right? So in a normal situation, there would be a ton of people. Tell me a few sort of outdoor spaces that maybe are more, I don't know, like a locals hangout, where you're not really like bumping into everybody on the trail.
Right.
Something that's more sort of, you know, out there, off the beaten path. Mm.
Yeah. So I would also like to mention here that locals love hiking. So you will find locals on all these mountains most of the time. So in Bergen, there are a few really nice parks that most tourists don't really take the time to visit. So one that's quite close to the city center, it's called Nygårdsparken. So the Nygård Park, really, that's like the translation of it. And Nygårdsparken is like it's a lovely park, but it's actually like parts of it is uphill. So it's quite like steep uphill. And from time to time, and especially in the summer, the local Philharmonic will put on shows there for free. Yeah, people will gather. So you bring a blanket. This is all locals. Like most visitors don't know about this. The Philharmonic will put on some kind of concert, and usually like 20-minute concert, like not very long. Because obviously this is like, they usually do like longer shows and they're really expensive. But this is like a free show, and then locals will bring blankets. People will bring some beers, and just like find a spot in the hill, like going up the hills going up in the park, and just sit there and enjoy the music. So that's visiting Nygårdsparken, especially in the summer, I really recommend.
Amazing. Now, what about sort of local experiences? I know you talked about hiking as, you know, being something that a lot of locals enjoy as well. I'm thinking kind of, I don't know, is there a cooking class? Are there like, you know, bike tours or something that is sort of a local experience that you wouldn't find anywhere else?
So this is something that I haven't actually tried myself, but I've heard of, and then I didn't get the chance to last summer because of COVID, and I went back to the fjord for a while and spent most of the summer there. So they have these self-paced walking tours of Bergen that take you through like the history of the city. And so like I mentioned, Bergen is an old city. There's a lot of history here. I know some of it kind of like in pieces. Like you pick it up, like we learned a lot of it in school. Bergen actually used to be the capital of Norway. So there's a fortress here, for example. There's lots of interesting history. And I feel like I only know parts of it. I know chunks of it. So I would really want to try like one of these walking tours, because it's like self-paced. And you just download this audio, kind of like audio guide to your phone. And then you walk around at your own pace and listen to all these like fun facts and like fun history about the city. So like I mentioned, I haven't tried it, but I really want to. And I have a feeling I would recommend it because I love history.
Yeah, and it's a great way to kind of learn about a place. I mean, especially, you know, really touristy places, everybody goes to the ones that are super popular. And then you miss out on all these, you know, subtle nuances that actually tell such a beautiful story.
Yeah, and it's like if you're traveling, for example, with children or in a larger group of friends, it's tricky to sign up to like walking tours with a guide because like the kids might not be paying attention, or like you want to like, oh, look at that pub, let's go grab a beer. So then if it's a self-paced tour, you can actually like stop and grab a coffee or a beer whenever you want, or you can like, yeah, stop if the children need to stop for any reason. So I think I really love the idea of that. So I'm excited to try it once the weather gets warmer.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to tell us how it is.
I will.
Now, you mentioned, you know, kind of you pivoting, you doing a lot more domestic travel. So talk to me a little bit about sort of where you've kind of recently gone or you've discovered, maybe something that you probably did when you were younger or had no idea that even existed.
Yeah. So this is very local to where, like the area where I live in Bergen, which is called Danmarksplass, which literally means Denmark's place. So I don't know why they would name this place, but sure. So the area here has actually like changed a lot since I moved to Bergen. I've lived in the city for 2.5 years now. And so there's like new restaurants and places popping up all the time. Even during COVID, they've had like new things open. So yeah, so I recently like fell in love with this restaurant that's just a short walk from my apartment that I hadn't even like, I've walked past it a few times. And it's called Yaya, and they specialize in international street food, which has been such a gem now that we can't really travel.
Yeah, that sounds pretty interesting. So what kind of food did you try?
Oh, I've been back several times since I found it. But they have they've had these like spicy chicken bao buns, which have been great. And of course, they have like some street tacos and like a lot of like Mexican food. And then what I've found that I really enjoy is that they change out the menu every 2 to 3 months. Yeah, so you'll come back and they'll have like something completely different. And for Christmas, they actually had like Norwegian Christmas food, but with like an international theme. So they had sheep is very popular or very common in Norwegian Christmas food. We have like some specific ways of cooking the sheep called pinnekjøtt. And they had that, but in like a kebab, which was very like never heard of that before. So it's just like it's fun. It's very nice to see how like so now when we obviously can't travel, it's very nice to like still get to kind of like try different like flavors from around the world. Yeah. And get that inspiration.
Like an infusion of flavors and textures and stuff. Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Now this next question is again Lisa's perspective. There is no wrong answer because everybody's, you know, perspective is different and unique. So whatever you're comfortable sharing, okay. Where do you think travel is headed in the future?
Oh, it is. That's a tricky one. It's hard to say, really. I do think it's going to take a while before we're back to normal. But I hope that slow travel will find its way back to the trends, because we were kind of starting to like get into like slow and sustainable travel, and we were focusing more on like supporting local ventures before the pandemic hit. So like, even though I think it's going to take a while before we're back to what we would call normal, I hope those trends and those that focus sticks, and that we keep like that, we bring that back. Because I do think that I believe that after being so long without traveling, we are going to go about it in a more thoughtful way when things open up. But that's just like my kind of theory on it. But it'll be interesting to see. Like, I really hope we can get back to a new kind of normal very soon, but it's very hard to say.
Yeah. And I agree. I think, you know, just people are now coming into travel in a very different mindset, because they've, you know, not done it for so long, or, you know, they kind of, everybody around them is also shifting focus. So I completely agree with you. I hope it's more slower in the sense of not just pace, but also just kind of, you know, the things that we want. It's no longer, you know, like go, go, go and hectic and just, you know, you've gone to the top of the Empire State Building, check. You know, it's not that. It's more like just kind of slower pace, more meaningful. At least, you know, I hope so too. So
yeah, I agree. So we'll see, but fingers crossed.
Yes. Now, as a travel blogger, as a travel writer, what are your travel plans? whenever that happens, where would you like to go next?
Oh, I'll go anywhere. I don't care at this point. No. So I currently don't have any travel plans, because in Norway we are being advised to avoid any unnecessary travel, both abroad and domestically right now. So I haven't actually been abroad since you and I were in Sri Lanka a year ago. So that was my last trip abroad. Very sad, but it is what it is. And at the moment, like I mentioned, the government in Norway is advising us to not travel domestically either. Just mainly because of these, like the virus strands that they're not quite sure like what they mean. But I do hope that will change by summer, so that the summer of 2021 I'll be able to explore more of Norway. I'm very lucky to be from like such a beautiful country, and there are so many, like Norway is on so many people's bucket lists. So, and I still have a lot to explore even after like 30 years of living here. So I think that's kind of like my plan right now. That's my most realistic plan. But I will admit, like if they open or if they find a way to let us travel, like I'd be happy to go to Sweden at this point. Like I would. I don't mind. I'm quite starved to explore and to like, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I think it's just a feeling of getting outside.
Exactly.
What you have been experiencing for so long.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, just having something. So I do actually have, so traveling to cabins is very popular in Norway. It's a very cultural thing, and a lot of Norwegians will have cabins as their like holiday home. So you live in a city or you live by the fjords, and then you'll have a cabin in the mountains so you can go skiing.
No, how nice.
So I do have, yeah. So I'm going in next month, I will be going to a cabin for a weekend with my family. And a few weeks later, me and a few of my girlfriends are also going on a cabin trip for a weekend. Mm-hmm. So they're advising us not to travel domestically, but they've also said that you can go to your cabin. So you're allowed to travel if you have a cabin to travel to. So I do have some plans, yeah. So that will be just to like spend a weekend skiing and drinking red wine by the fireplace with friends.
Sounds amazing.
Yes, it's very
something nice to look forward to, right?
Exactly. That's all we need now.
Yeah. Well, Lisa, thank you so much. This has been amazing. And yes, you know, our trip to Sri Lanka was such a great experience. And same here. I haven't stepped on a plane internationally since that time. So I think
it's been hard.
Yeah. And I can't wait. And for me, it's like, I can't wait to go home. I mean, you know, I've been away from India for a year now.
That's so long.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I understand.
But thank you so much. This was absolutely amazing. And you're right, Norway is on so many people's bucket lists. So
yes, I hope we've given people some good tips.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Culturally Ours. Check out the show notes at culturallyours.com. If you've enjoyed this show, please be sure to hit subscribe, leave us a review, and share it with your family and friends.